Good to welcome everybody. I remember many years ago, I attended a Malav Malka that was sponsored by Breuer's Community. I live in Washington Heights. The president of Breuer's at that time was Dr. Muller. He was a descendant of Rabbi Hirsch himself. And he was the president forever, till the day that he died. Whenever they had big meetings from the shul, and things weren't going his way, so he was a medical doctor, he would pop out a pill from his pocket. He's getting a heart attack. He would take the pill. No one would argue with him. He always won, because he can't kill Dr. Muller. So I remember he spoke once at a Malava Malka, so he said, he's from Hamburg, but the Kehillah is from Frankfurt. They're two different minhagim, where they start saying Divrei Torah next week's parsha, ready for Matzoi Shabbos, or up until Tuesday night, you speak about yesterday's parsha, and after Tuesday night, you speak about next week's parsha. Because he's from Hamburg and the shul is Frankfurt, he had to give two droshes. Each one was 20 minutes. I'm going to give one drosha, connecting the both sedras. I'll be Yotzei Yideshneh. He read in today's Kriya this morning, Parshas Chayisorah, where Avraham Avinu is very insistent, Rakas B'nidu L'Soshem Shom, and not Eliezer should go find the Shidduch. And if the girl doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael, you can't take my son to Chutz Lortz. Why not? Why such an insistence? Yaakov Avinu went to Chutz Lortz. Avraham Avinu went to Chutz Lortz, but he wrote Boretz. So Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. So the answer is given. Chumash doesn't explain why. Why is Avraham Avinu so insistent that his son Yitzchak can't leave Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is given in the next week's Seder. And Parshas told us. It says, Vahiro Boretz, Melbad Haro Harishan, Shehoyah B'mei Avraham. There was a famine during the lifetime of Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is described in the Torah as the one who always follows the Masor. Everything that his father did, he does exactly the same. That's what it says in the Zohar. There's a Sefer HaKsava HaKabbalah on Chumash by a big row from Germany. So the Yekkes don't like to look in Zohar. They don't hold from Zohar. So whenever HaKsava HaKabbalah quotes the Zohar, so he camouflages it. So it says in the Chilta, the Reb Shem Baichoy. Chilta Reb Shem Baichoy is the Zohar. There's no Mechilta, the Reb Shem Baichoy in the Pesukim here. So he quotes, the Zohar says that the Pesukim say that all of the wells that Avraham Avinu dug, the Plishtim stopped them up, and Yitzchak dug the exact same wells and gave him the exact same names that his father gave to those wells. And the Pesukim are telling us that Yitzchak followed 100% the Masorah from his father Avraham Avinu. So when there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael, so Yitzchak is about to do exactly the same. Rashi quotes the Medrash. Yitzchak is about to do exactly the same as his father Avraham Avinu. He's going to go down to Mitzrayim. So on his way to Mitzrayim, he stops off in Eretz Plishtim, in the Gaza Strip, in Gror. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and tells him, I'll tear it Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to go to Mitzrayim. But my father went to Mitzrayim. It's a Masoira. I have to follow the Masoira. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, you're not following the Masoira. You're making a mistake. Your father was not an Oilo Tmima. You were Hukdash as a Korban Oilo by the Akedah. It wasn't a mistake that Avraham Avinu mistakenly thought that he's supposed to bring his son as a carbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to be Magdish, his son, as an oila. He was about to shecht him like any oila, need shechita and hakrova. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and Malach came and he said, no, be makriv the ayil, and by hakrova of the ayil, it'll be considered as if he did a hakrova on your son Yitzchak. But Yitzchak was hugdash as a carbon oila. And the din is that if you take a carbon, chutz l'makoma, it becomes nifsal b'yotzeh. The din is the carbon only becomes nifsal b'yotzeh if you did the shechita, if you did the avodah rishona, if you have a live animal that's hukdash, it's not nifsal b'yotzeh. So you see from the medrash that they understood that the shechita and the avodah that was done to the ayil achar that was korev is considered as if the shechita had been done to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak had the status of a carbon lacha shechita, he'll be nifsal b'yotzeh. So it's interesting. A lot of times people think, I'm doing exactly the same as my father, I'm following the family tradition, exactly what my father, my grandfather did, and due to changing circumstances, you're superficially doing the same. You're going down to Mitzrayim, but it's not the same. Your father was not an Oilo Tmima, you are an Oilo Tmima, you're not allowed to leave. Yankiv did leave. Yankiv was never an Oilo Tmima. There's no Psul Yotze. He finds such a similar situation by Yoshua ben Nun. Pesukim say when they waged the war against Yericho, so Yeshua ben Nun made a cherem. He made everything. Hegdish, no one's allowed to be nena from anything. So the Pesukim say the next battle that they fought, they lost the war because there was one character, Ochan ben Karmi ben Zabdi ben Zerach, who violated the cherem. He took money and clothing, a lot of stuff. And because he violated the Cherem, so that's why they lost the next war. So the Ribbono Shel Olam appears to Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun does not understand. How can we lose the war? You promised us we're going to win all the wars. Tremendous. Nisim and Nefilot. How could it be that we lost the war? So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, Ato Garamto. Who told you to make a Cherem? You made a Cherem. It's considered as if everybody violated the Cherem. Everyone is responsible for the Avera that Ochem did. So the Marsha quotes the Kasha from the Mefarshim. But the same Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a Cherem. Every time they waged the war in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, he made a Cherem. And every time there was a Cherem, the same character, Ochan ben Karmi ben Zav ben Zerach, violated every single Cherem in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yehoshua ben Nun is just following in the footsteps of his Rebbe. He's doing the same thing that his Rebbe did. So the Mefarshim asked his Kasha and the Gemara, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Ato Garamta, it's your fault, Yehoshua, who told you to make a Cherem? What do you mean, who told me? I'm doing what my Rebbe did. So the Marsha answers, he thought that he's doing what his Rebbe did. But you live in a different times, you're not doing the same as the Rebbe. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there wasn't yet a din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet. So if one individual person does an Aveira, he'll burn in Gehenna. The whole tzibur will not be held responsible. But after Moshe Yisrael is Hayarden, after the brachas are closed, that Hagrizim and Harevo, so there's a din of Orvus, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet. So if one person violates the Cherem, everybody's held responsible. Yehoshua ben Nun thought that he's following the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's following what his Rebbe did. He didn't realize that everything is different now. Moshe Rabbeinu said, and it's a different ball game, and it doesn't make sense to make a Cherem. A lot of people think, my grandfather was one of the founders of the Mizrahi, so I have to belong to the Mizrahi. And my grandfather was one of the founders of the Aguda, so I have to follow in the footsteps of my grandfather. The Aguda and the Mizrahi from 100 years ago was Kaidim HaKamas HaMedina. Whatever the Mizrahi was then, it's not the same now. Whatever the Aguda was then, it's not the same now. It may be better, maybe worse. It's different. So that's a decision a person has to make. Because my grandfather was one of the founders of the Mizrahi, where does that lead me today? If I want to follow in the footsteps of my grandfather. The Mizrahi is not the same. The Aguda is not the same. The same thing. My father learned in Torah B'Das. So I have to follow the family tradition. I have to go to Torah B'Das. My father learned in YU. My father got smicha from YU. I have to go to YU. Torah B'Das today is not the same Torah B'Das when your father learned there 30, 40 years ago. And YU is not the same as it was 40 years ago. Everything is different. The whole world is different. You have to investigate. Are you doing the same thing? Are you following the footsteps of your father by doing this? Or is it totally different? Yehoshua ben Nun. The outstanding Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. And Yitzchok made a mistake. He thought he was following in the Masor of Avraham Avinu. And it wasn't so. They weren't following the Masor. We have in the concluding Pasuk, in the Haftarah of Toldos, the Pasuk says, the concluding phrase in the Pasuk, how does it begin? Kitori reaction the piu ki malach Hashem tzivakasu. So the Gemara has the comment on the pasuk. You should only learn by a rebbe if he's doimel lamalach, if he seems to be like an angel. What are the angels like? How do you pick which rebbe to learn by? You have to know what an angel is like. What's an angel like? So the Haflor writes in one place in the sefer an interesting pshat. He says that the malachim are known as Srofim Oimdim Mimalo. Malachim Shtein Afanot. They stay on the same adreg. Human beings are called Mahalchim. Nasati Lacha Malchim Bein Oimdim Ha'elim. So human beings keep on moving. Either they move up or they move down. They don't stay in the same spot. Either they have an Aliyah and higher adreg, or they have Yerida. They never stay on the same adreg. And Malachim stay on the same adreg. So if the Rebbe is like a human being, and every year he learns more, And he knows more Abchaims. They know more Rishon and more Achronim. So he's going to, every year he's going to give a Shira on the Gemara. He's going to start from a higher level. Before he even opens the Gemara, he's going to say over Abchaim as an introduction to the Mishnah. Instead of introducing the Mishnah by saying a Pasuk and Chumash, and then explaining what the Pasuk, what the Mishnah tells you, he's going to start off with Abchaim. Rav Elbel will start off with the most complicated thing. So that's not too good for the Talmidim. That's wonderful for the Rebbe. Rebbe keeps on steiging every year. After 40 years, he started as a Rebbe in his 20s. Now after 40 years, he's at such a high madrega. The Talmidim are not at that madrega. So it's a mile of a Rebbe if he's like a Malach. He stays on the same Madreg, or at least he makes believe that he stays on the same Madreg, and it begins with Aleph Beis, with the Talmidim, as if he's also on that Madreg. That's how the Haflos says in one place. I remember once Rabbi Gifter suggested a humorous interpretation in the Gemara, that we don't know too much about the Malachim at all. So if the Rebbe is Dama Malach, if you don't know anything about the Rebbe, then it's good, learn by that Rebbe. If you're too involved in his private life, so you won't have respect for the Rebbe, so don't learn by that Rebbe. You should not learn by a Rebbe that you don't know what's doing in his home. That's not the pshat. That was a... as a halot said, that's what he said. What does it mean if the Rebbe seems to be angelic? The Rebbe seems to be a Yirei Shamayim. The Rebbe seems to be a tzaddik, tamim, a medaktik and mitzvahs. That you learn by the Rebbe. But still, there are different types of malachim. Rashi tells us on Parsha told us, Malachim Olam V'Yoredim, the Malachi Eretz Yisrael, but going back to heaven, the Malachi Chutz L'Eretz, but coming back. Then the concluding Pasuk in Parsha still told us, it says, Machanoyim. So Rashi says, the Machane of two sets of Malachim. The Malachi Chutz L'Eretz went back to heaven, because Yankov Avinu just returned to Eretz Yisrael, and Malachi Eretz Yisrael came down now to protect and to defend Yankov Avinu. So you have different Malachim in Eretz Yisrael, different Malachim in Chutz L'Eretz. You have to look for a different Rebbe and different type of a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, different type of a Rebbe in Chutz L'Eretz. It's obvious. When you come to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year or two or three, whatever it is, you know that you're going to be isolated in the yeshiva. You're not going to be mixing in with the society here. So if you're going to be isolated, only in Olam HaYeshiva, so you have to pick a Rebbe who's good for that type of life. Those who live in America and coming back to America, you're not going to be isolated in the yeshiva. Anyone who lives in America, anyone who's learning yeshiva in America, is living in the whole society. You can't isolate yourself. So you have to pick a Rebbe who's that style of a Rebbe, that type of a Malach. Just like there are different Malachim in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz L'Eretz, you have to pick a different kind of a Rebbe. Young people your age tend to see everything in terms of black and white. The world is not so clear-cut. Life is very nuanced, and the world is very nuanced. Not everything is black and white. And people who present everything as being black and white are exaggerating. It's just not so. It's easier to raise your children by saying everything black and white. You do it this way, whoever doesn't do this way is an apikoros. Is that true? There are people to the right, people to the left. There are so many different opinions. How can you say everyone else is an apikoros? It's easy to raise children like that. If you're going to tell your children, they're going to be wild, they're going to do whatever they please. So for raising children, that makes life easier. I was telling one of the boys today that I know a woman who was brought up by a Lubavitcher family. She always thought that all the Siddurim were conservative. She thought the only Orthodox Siddur is Tilas Hashem, the Chabad Siddur. That's the way she was raised. Everything else is conservative, and this is the only Orthodox one. So that was easy for her parents to raise her like that. This is the only Orthodox thing, and everything else is not Orthodox. But it's not true. And you're not permitted to give a misrepresentation of Torah to your children. Now, not exaggerate. An exaggeration is also sheker. It's also a misrepresentation of Torah. You have in the Shulchan Aruch, you have in the Gemara all the time, the dinim l'chatchilim, b'riyebinim, shasadchak. The halach is very nuanced. It's not so clear-cut. Not everything is black and white, and that's it. There's only one way to do things. We were discussing today by Ovi Shalashudis. One of the Rabbonim spoke by Shalashudis, and he mentioned the Gemara, Shimon HaMstayne HaYodorish Gales V'yesh Shabbat Torah. So I was telling over some of the Rabbonim who were sitting near me that they have the story written up in the Tshuva Svarim that there was a chazan whose name was Shimon. And the Balabatim knew that he ate treif for food. So they sent a shaila. The rabbi wanted to fire the chazan. Sent Shulchan Aruch, if the chazan is not medaktik mitzvah, so he's not supposed to be the shliach hatzibur. But the kehila loved the way he sang. He had a beautiful voice. And the Rav felt that he was going to fire the chazan, is going to be a big machlokes in the kehilah. So he sent the shaila to another Rav. What should he do? Should he fire him or not? So the way they wrote the shaila was Shimon Zeh. In Yiddish, the word es means to eat. So they wrote the shaila, the chazan name was Shimon, the Tana who darshan every es. Shabbat Torah, his name is Shimon Hamsani. So they wrote Shimon Zeh Dorish called es v'yesh Shabbat Torah, es ha-chazir, es ha-gomo, es ha-nemes. And playing es, he used to eat all the macholos hasuris. And then the Rav explained the Shaila. On the one hand, it says in Shulchan Aruch he's supposed to fire the chazan if he doesn't observe mitzvah satar. On the other hand, he's going to make a big machloikis in the kehila. So the psak was given, and the Rav who wrote the tshuva, I think it's the Tzmichas Chachamim, I think it's from the 1500s, the 1600s. So he coined an expression that I don't think it appears in any medrash. He wrote in the tshuva, Mutav lahamid selen behechel al yarbe machloikis b'Yisrael. There are dinim lachatchila, there are dinim b'diyeva, there are dinim mishas hadchak. You don't always take the yikav adina sahar. You can't allow a chazan is a balavera to dam for anomit, even if it's going to rip apart the whole shul. There are a lot of considerations. You're learning in the yeshiva, you know other dinim, and you know you're going to go back home and there are going to be problems with your parents, with your sisters, with your brothers, whatever. You don't always bop everybody over the head. You have to ask a shayla each time. You have to look in Shulchan Aruch what the din is. There are a lot of considerations. So when you're picking the Rebbe that you're going to learn by, or the yeshiva you're going to learn by, you have to take all of this into consideration. In Eretz Yisrael, you were learning in the yeshiva, you didn't mix with the whole society. So that's one type of Rebbe you need, representing that type of a malach. In the Chutz Lords, the Rebbe has to be dama to a different malach, has to be dama to the malachi Chutz Lords, who live in this world. We observe mitzvahs, we learn Torah, but we do live in this world. So keep it in mind, make a good decision. A good tabach and a good gebench to your.
Amen. Amen.